Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Veronica Entwistle, and who are you? You've tuned in to Radiance by Design here on BBS Radio. Wonderful BBS Radio, which covers a lot of the things, a lot of the concepts and thoughts and explorations people are doing for these changing times, and the times really are changing, aren't they? Anyway, Radiance by Design isn't really a political show, except by this nature, which is, as we create who we are and master who we are, we shift life in the collective, and we make a difference in our empowerment over our own lives. This is a time where there's been a lot of shake, rattle, and roll stuff going on in economics. I bet you all noticed that. And it's really crucial at this point that we don't live in fear, but we stay centering and creating from a centered place in a way that will actually help us flow through these changes. We need to stay kind of not only resilient, but more and more true to ourselves and aware of our empowerment to create the reality that we want. And I've been reminded by several people lately, also my guides, there is a co-creation. It's not simply us creating our reality. So we don't want to co-create with disaster. We don't want to co-create with panic, and we don't want to co-create with hysteria. But sometimes what happens, people will phone and say, you know, I'm really afraid, and I know I'm not supposed to be. So sometimes we have to actually go in and confront some of our reactive nature so that we can, you don't even have to heal it all. You just need to replace it or change it around or acknowledge it and then move it on so that you can choose the reactions and responses that you have. It's also a wonderful time because more and more people are moving into a much more conscious state of being, and more people are coming from their heart. I also am hearing an awful lot about community. We've lived in the nuclear family reality and the corporate dominance, financial dominance, and all that kind of stuff. It hasn't exactly been, and then we moved into cell phones and our own computers and stuff. We haven't exactly been working with a community consciousness. It's been really frustrating for a lot of people because we seem so isolated and we have so many responsibilities just on our own shoulders. But we know as we unfold and we move into next levels of consciousness that one of the most important, most crucial routes that we can take is a move toward community awareness and community consciousness. Now, for a lot of us, that means that we have to learn how to release defenses, a lot of defenses that lead to isolation. We have to learn to trust, to develop trust with one another. There's a lot of things that we've got to learn. And so what we're doing today on Radiance by Design is some learning. Are you up for that? We're going to learn through meditation, meditation with sacred geometrics, actually. We're going to learn to shift and change some of the hidden belief structures in our body, mind, that they're kind of running us, programming us, so that we have to be living out our defenses and so on. We're going to dump some of those, and I really hope that you're going to be calling in with whatever you're working on so that we can clear and release facades that we've developed in ourselves that prevent us from letting the, as Rowena Kreider, who's going to be my paradigm shifter today, says, we have a flow of love light that comes through us and is around the whole planet. And when we can live into that, we really aren't being defensive anymore. So we're going to learn to move some of our defenses, some of our identities, and find that flow of love and truth that runs through us. The other thing we keep hearing about is moving from living in the mind or being driven by the mind, moving into the heart. So all of these things are just shifts in the way we focus into life and the way we interact one with the other. I love it when the guides and angels, and as most of you know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor and work with a wonderful coalescence of guides and very wonderful beings. And as we work today, we're going to work with you to clear, we like to clear as many of you as we can. So if somebody calls in and they've got a question and we do some energy work with them to clear, that should radiate out of this wonderful computer network that we're all on and really help you to clear as well. So let's talk about that. I like to start with a meditation, which talk about clearing. It clears your immediate space, and it clears the space that's connecting us one with the other. And remember, when people call in, you want to clear the space as well by wrapping yourself in light. So let's all close our eyes and do a meditation, and then I'm going to start taking callers right off the bat, talking about anything going on in your life, but prepare yourself, because we're going to see if we can undo or unsettle some of the patterns of defense and tension that you might have within yourself and that you might be finding running you in spite of yourself. That's the whole thing, is the subconscious and the unconscious stuff actually runs and kind of programs a lot of our reality, and we're a little tired of that, aren't we? So, first I like to call in those beings of light and consciousness that work with us. I'm used to having my own little stable here, and let's share. You've got them too. Let's call in the beings of light, consciousness, truth, and love. Good. Feel that really nice, loving presence. And now let's focus way out into the galactic center, wherever that is. And we see drawing from out there a crystal tube. It's a crystalline tube, and you bring it out from the galactic center and right down through the top of your head, right down through your spine, and into the core of the earth. It's kind of a buzz that runs through the body when you get that. At least I've got it right down my legs. And now, above your head, perhaps 2 miles, see a golden ball, a beautiful, radiant golden ball. My, this one's bright today. And there's one below your spine, about 40 feet. And now drop a filament of light through this crystalline tube, from the upper golden ball, through the crystalline tube, all the way down through your body and into the lower golden ball. Do you feel that? And now from the upper golden ball, let's see, which one will we do today? Oh, let's do the circle of golden balls. So around your waist, perhaps 8 feet in radius, design a circle of golden balls. Good. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop many, many pink filaments of light. And they're really radiant, radiant, radiant pink filaments of light. And now from the circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, more of these filaments, and feel them buzzing and sparking and buzzing and sparking. Now you have a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. And inside of that, a crystal ball, and have the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your structure. Now feel the difference in the energy when you design a crystal ball around you. First of all, what colors are there in your ball? Mine's beautiful. It's got a lot of blue and a lot of purple, a lot of gray, a lot of silver. And now inside of that, I'm in the star tetrahedron, which is like something like a Star of David, only it's three-dimensional. And start spinning and spinning and spinning in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And whilst you're spinning, take a look on the magical screen in front of you. And you're spinning and spinning and spinning and going faster and faster and faster. And while you do, some of you have done spinning as a meditation exercise. I have done some. It's really amazing, isn't it? It seems like in front of you it's still. All right, now I want you to look at your screen, and on the screen let's create what it is you would like to design or co-create in your world and your reality. I always start with what I want personally, and I really want that really vibrant multidimensionality. I always start with that and see myself being multidimensional. And now, look at your resources. Resources are a big thing these days, aren't they? We have our thing about the mortgages and the investments and the grand dominance of world economics, so on, coming apart. And we're praying that it comes apart in a way that is going to fuel the rebirth or the birth of much more equitable systems. All right, so let's see your resources. How are your resources looking in your fantasy, in your vision, in your co-creation? And let's just see them flowing. See yourself living in your, what it is you're wanting to do, and flowing your resources to you. And they just come, and opportunities come. And your consorting with others comes and creates more opportunities. That's right. And your creativity, let's move to creativity. Oh my, isn't it wonderful that we are such a creative species? And when we're creating with the unseen as well as the seen, it's amazing what we can do. And now let's create a healing environment. See a wonderful healing environment, whichever tools you choose to use in your healing environment. Now bring in people that you want to heal. It might be yourself. It may be certain people that you know that are unwell. And in your healing environment, see yourself working with them. See those beings of light working with them and helping them. Sometimes when we do this, we can actually see some of the underpinning emotional and psychological difficulties that are exacerbating the condition. And when you do that, we can pull those out. Pull them out. Yeah. And have that person really release their attachment to it. All right, let's move to one that's world political picture. How do you view that? You don't want to get too partisan doing this, so what we need to do is really see individuals in positions of power moving toward a kindness or an empathy for all kinds of individuals, people in power absolutely evolving so that they can see the benefit of sharing all over the planet and that resources reach all. And let's see the healing in the election preparations. Yeah. Let's see kindness and strength coming together in our candidates. And leadership that will actually protect people and help people grow into a much more expanded reality, which is possible at this time on the planet, isn't it? And let's ask that the guides and angels come in and really be a strong supporter of the evolution of beings. I'm just seeing Obama. I think, you know, he's got a really strong light. And that kind of makes me sound like I'm being partisan, but that's what they're showing me right now in the picture. And let's enjoy that light and really help increase it. You know, our light really protects us, doesn't it? When we can really build our light, we're much more protected, and we don't need to be defensive. We need to be radiant. That's why we're going to be radiant by design. And then let's move on a little bit and send peace. I would really like to see all the people on the planet being fed. Everybody, there's enough resources for everyone. We find interesting ways to feed and fuel the planet and of the people on the planet and the animals. And we can have lush vegetation. And we can heal the pressures on Mother Earth. There's no reason why we can't have a quantum leap here. Now, take a minute, and is there anything else you'd like to see in our little vision board here? Yeah. I would like to step out of that entire cocoon of reactiveness that I've had in my soul journey for maybe millions of years. It's really accrued some interesting texture, hasn't it? Yours too. Wouldn't it be great to just step on it like a cocoon and stand on your tippy toes like a ballerina, a ballet dancer, up and over it, and live your life. And now start spinning and spinning, and you start tetrahedron again. Spin and spin and spin and spin. Isn't that wonderful? Now remember, as you're spinning and spinning, when you're having a problem getting along with somebody and you're being challenged, put them in one of these and spin them. They don't know what you're doing, but it really separates those fields one from the other. So instead of all these little strings, you're actually being able to separate. So, for example, I was speaking to one of my clients today, and she was having problems with her daughter, her teenage daughter, who was acting out of a very deep and very, very cellular place, kind of a karmic place. And I've been in this situation before with different kinds of people, but what was happening is the deep, deep pain all the way through this woman's vibrational fields, and she's quite a conscious woman, but as this child acts out of her karmic healing, if you want to look at it that way, and it looks like she's got a few more years to go of that, the mother was deeply engaged in the energetics of it, deep in her belly, in her womb, in her heart, all through her body. We did a lot of energy clearing. We release people from each other, and they'd known each other in other lives, so some of the tethers were very long, very, very complex, and I laughed and I said, oh, you're at the end of your tether, which is actually good news, because we can get unhooked, you know. So we had to work on that, but it was fascinating to me how deeply, deeply confined we are by our relationships one to the other. And let's see here. And it's a good example of how difficult it is to move out of the influences of the collective and to get into being authentic. And that's what we're really working on. But as you see those tethers and those strings between us, it's really important to work on them. So like I say about my client with her daughter, it really was helpful at the end of our daughterectomy, which we did, to actually spin and spin both people in the star tetrahedron. And then you find that the energies move up and they separate one from the other. It's a really wonderful healing tool that you can use. So, I don't think I said who I am. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I love working with people on the air. I'm hoping you're going to call in. Just going to dig up the numbers here. And the purpose of this, and if you don't call in, you know what, I'm going to work on you anyway. So there. I've been doing this for quite a while, and what I really love is that we're talking about the possibility of having stronger community consciousness. But, you know, I find with online radio, it's really fun. What happens is we do get a community consciousness, and it can be going all around the world. As we work with and we do healing with various people, it's amazing how many other people, for example, someone named, I guess I can say her name because she's called in before, but somebody named Beth called in. And we worked with her, and she was very courageous about it. Goody, I'll take your call in just a minute. She was very courageous about it. And then I had several people call me and say, working on Beth really touched my life and really changed me because I had a tangent situation or a crossover situation or something. So that's really the point of this whole game that we're doing today. And my, I'll take this call, and then I'll talk some more. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Beth.
It is Beth. I just talked about you. You heard that.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. I wanted to call back. I have a question, but first of all, I just wanted to say that I just got offered a job.
Good.
And you said I would.
Good. Are you going to take it?
Yeah. It's just a temporary job, but it's actually a really fun job.
Good.
So I'm excited to be doing it.
It's funny, Beth, because you look more powerful all of a sudden, because it's pretty hard when we don't have a job, isn't it?
Yeah. But I just kept on just having hope and just knowing that it's going to come, you know?
Excellent.
That's a hard thing, but yeah, once I got there, you know, and I just kept on saying, increase is coming in. That's
well,
one of my things I say to myself.
What did you say?
Increase is coming in, increase is going out. Increase is coming in. So once the increase comes in, then I'll be able to share, and that increase will go out.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's a good meditation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or mantra.
Yeah.
What's your question today, darling?
Okay. This is probably a very odd, bizarre question, which I'm sure you've gotten a lot. Not to judge it, it's just what it is. The question is, for some reason, everywhere I go, I see these paper clips, like the big metal paper clips.
Mm-hmm.
Not small ones, big ones. And I see them everywhere I go. I mean, like, even in, like, bizarre places. Like, I was working on a set, and we're, like, you know, in the middle of a road, like, on the street, in a residential street. And I'm walking, and I look down. I just happen to look down, and there was a paperclip. So I'm wondering, is that like...
Well, let's play with that, okay? Everybody, I was going to say that my... you know, when I said I'll tell you after we take this call... I was going to say that Rowena Kreider is going to be my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock, and she is masterful regarding symbols, and I was going to ask her how we can become powerful about interpreting the symbols that evoke our own codes, you know? So
yeah.
I'm laughing, going, you're being told, so what's attached to what? What does a paperclip do? Let's look at that.
What? Say that again?
What does a paperclip do?
Well, it you know, it puts papers together and organizes. And I'm not very organized.
Well, you know, it also puts things together that go together, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And it also isn't permanent.
Huh.
Right?
I never thought of it that way.
Well, we're just playing with symbols here now. Come on. It's also almost a spiral shape. I was just thinking how interesting the shape is. It is a kind of a spiral, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And what else? Do you know when it is that you see them? Are they kind of like at a time when you're asking a question?
No. Maybe they are. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think I'm asking a question. I just sort of, I could be talking on the phone and I look down, it's there. I was leaving an audition, and there was one there. I mean, like, in a parking lot. I'm like, what would it be doing in a parking lot? You know, it's just, they're everywhere. That and also shopping carts.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I notice shopping carts all the time. Nobody else will.
Well, I want you to do an exercise, or people at home can. Like, oh, what is the symbol of the shop? What does a shopping cart symbolize to you?
To me, it's like, you know, it's something to hold things, you know, stuff that you want to get or want, you know.
And a paperclip has a version of that too, doesn't it? It holds things.
Oh, okay, it holds things, yeah.
But I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm thinking that's kind of funny. So a shopping cart is kind of collecting things, isn't it? Purchasing.
Yeah.
Keep talking. What else is it for?
Well, I mean, you know, holding your belongings for homeless people.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, it's a container.
It could also be a ride. You could sit on it and ride as a kid.
Yes. And it's actually usually for groceries, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going through a huge transition, are you not?
Yes.
Did you sell your place? Are you living in your same condo? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you're not moving?
I don't want to. I want to try to save it and ride it throughout all this craziness. If I could do it.
Seems like it's something about you. First of all, you have a fear about losing your home. You know that?
I do have a fear.
Yeah. Do you make jokes like, I'm afraid I'll be sitting on the corner with a bag or with a grocery cart?
I do.
Yeah. You stop it, please.
Okay.
Because it's there's something about a fear. Just take a look at it. Something about a fear and shopping carts. And that's kind of attracting your attention. Take a look at how we attract. You know, you can wander around and you don't notice certain things and you shift your mood and all of a sudden all you see is something like shopping cartons, right?
Right.
And the guides are saying with you, there's a real fear about that, about home and about the transitions required. And I say to you, you have full capacity, my dear, to be extremely creative about your income. You are very creative. Do you have someone to share your place?
Yeah, I have a roommate.
Good. Okay.
And she's very creative also.
Okay, because they're saying, you know, stop with this fear thing. You got to. If we get afraid, and I already said this earlier, if we get afraid, sometimes it's hard to just stop it. It's easy to say that, you know. But if you call it up and look and say, I want to feel that fear. I want to really feel that fear. And then bring it up and, like, hand it to your angels, because you don't need to be afraid of that. You see? The fear is, if we're creative, this, our life is a creative enterprise. Nobody told us that. This is going to be a wildly creative life. Right?
Right.
They said, if you get an education and a degree, you will be secure. That's what they told me.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't true, was it?
No.
But what was true is that we don't necessarily fail when we make changes. We just simply make changes and we create. And you have a really wonderfully intuitive and creative nature. And you can change and change and grow in this lifetime and not freak out. And yet you've got this fear about not accomplishing something that's going to give you this foundation that you can count on. See what I mean?
Yes.
It's a kind of a failure fear thing.
Yes, yes.
And I want to tease you and say, Beth, that's not going to have to happen, but I see the fear is really strong and is really grabbing your attention. So grab it right back, put it in your pocket or put it in a fire or something. And tell it that it can move on, because you're wildly creative, girl.
So when you, because that's one thing I'm also struggling with. So when you have fears or if you have worries, it's like, I guess there's a part of me who's like, okay, so now I have these feelings and I'm scared or, you know, or I'm jealous or whatever. It's like, okay, like it's basically a negative feeling.
Right.
So you're saying, like, how do you, you're saying to actually feel them?
Yeah.
But I'm not supposed to feel
them. Yeah, but if you submerge them or suppress them, what, where are you then, right? Because they run in the subconscious. So bring it up. Feel it. You wrap yourself in light, and everybody at home can do this. You can wrap yourself in light and bring it up and say, I want to feel all the fear. Okay, take it. Say to your angels, take it. Or you can spin it and spin it, because it's just the more dense part of hope or optimism, isn't it? Or love.
Yeah.
Okay, so you bring it up and bring it up and go, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. Okay, take this. And then you'll notice it comes up, in your case, it comes up out of your belly, both sides, something to do with your legs. Bring it up, bring it up. Don't fight it. And it up through your solar plexus, which is your personal power center, and then move it along. But if you fight it and you suppress it, then it just runs things for you. It'll grab the attention to the shopping cart, warning you all the time that's where you're headed, because you're not.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's like
I could even, like, because I like to do, like, physical, because then I feel like it really hits me and hits my spine, you know? So I could, like, couldn't I just, like, write it down too, and then maybe, you know, like in my mind be like, okay, I'm writing it down now, I'm giving it to you, and, like,
yes.
Burn it or do something with it.
And burn it. Burn it's great.
Okay.
But as long as you get it out of your bod, because that's the part, it starts shaking and starts resonating. And, you know, you want to make sure you don't suppress it.
Okay.
And remember, it's really easy. I mean, last week, one day I was said to Bob, in the morning I said, oh, I'm really scared. And he just chuckled, fortunately, and said, remember, it's out there right now. It's everywhere, and it's contagious. And once I heard that, I went, oh, yeah. And I wasn't really... You know what I mean? It didn't stay with me anymore. Once
yeah.
I got it, paid attention to it, and released it, it was gone. Now, that doesn't mean I don't get scared often. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
When you pull it up and move it. Pull it up and move it. Anyway, I have to move on so that other people
yeah.
can call, but I appreciate your call, Beth.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you. Congratulations on your job.
Thank you.
Keep on growing.
Thanks, I will.
All right.
Bye.
It is interesting to deal with fear right now, because it is absolutely rampant. And also so is a lot of anger. People are feeling very duped, you know. But the reality is there's an awful lot of other system stuff growing on this planet. There's a lot of really good things going on. And you're going to be a part of it, aren't you? So call in. My numbers are 877-876-5227, that's in the States, 888 810-8322 if you're in Canada. Hey, what's going on in Canada? Are people shaking in their boots there, or are they just smiling and saying, ah, it's an over-the-border situation? And the direct line is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And I find it really interesting because I've been talking to a lot of people who are having amazing things happening in their lives, good things, expansive things, new things. Beth just got a job. She's another example. But I'm seeing people who are taking on house purchases or, big, huge investments, and they're just holding their vision strong, and they're doing their meditations, and they're going forward. There's a whole lot of reality out there that is in a good celebrative state. And it's funny, we were always taught this, that if we live, we can create our reality. And as we work with it and we work with our visions and seeing what it is we want to bring forward into the world, you can sit right beside somebody else who's creating a negative vision or seeing things negatively, and the both of you can be living side by side and experiencing an entirely different reality. I know we've talked about this before. But I just want to remind you that it's like that. So you deal with your physical stuff and your investments and so on. Take a look at them, but remember to recreate what it is you want to perceive and experience in your life. The other thing the guides have been saying a lot of is when you're dealing with your investments right now, I wasn't going to talk about all this, but I will. When you're dealing with your investments right now, it's a good idea to move swiftly. When you get the hit or the intuition about shifting things or moving things, move it swiftly. Don't just delay and procrastinate, because there's a lot of whitewater, a lot of turbulence in the economic seas, if you will. It's pretty interesting times, isn't it? And we've heard for a long time that a lot of the system was going to collapse, and in many ways it has already. It's morphed and changed. And here's something funny. I get so frustrated at the media because I think that we have been enslaved by a lot of messages that, like how we're supposed to look, how our bodies are supposed to be. So you got women carving up their bodies so they all look the same, like somebody on TV, and having facelifts and so on. And so that we, and I'm not totally against facelifts. It's just we get marketed through the television. So I was doing some channeling yesterday or the day before, and the guides were saying, yeah, that's true, and yet you'll find that many conscious people are beginning to permeate, some of the consciousness is permeating television, and it's coming out in the entertainment world. And we were talking about David Letterman and his response to things, and he's getting quite political. So last night I was watching, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, I was just flicking around, and I watched a little bit of Boston Legal. And I just roared because what they were showing there was a whole lot of conscious, helpful information coming out of the mouths of these weird characters. Candace Bergen's granddaughter, if any of you know who she is, she's kind of a crankety person. And her granddaughter was very crankety, had done some voting, and she was underage, so it was illegal. So they took her to court, and they accused her of having a YouTube presentation telling everybody how to vote underage and being illegal. And what she announced when she was sitting up there is that she knew so much about the political structure and the motivations and the history of the candidates, and most people she knew who were older didn't give a toot about that. So it's like putting these wonderful messages in the mouths of these characters. One guy, William Shatner, collapsed and they took him to the hospital. He was almost dead and they said, what have you been taking? He said he was on 42 different drugs. And he's kind of a caricature anyway, quite a funny guy. And he said, oh, I got them all off television, and they were telling me that this one was going to do my acid reflux and that was going to do this and that. So I've just been popping them all and practically killed himself. And so it was quite a funny presentation of some of the major ills of our society. I really got a kick out of that, especially in alignment with what the guides had said, is watch for some of the television being actually able to penetrate people's thinking and be entertaining and lighthearted and shift the paradigm. That's the main point. All right, this is Veronica Entwistle. Obviously, you're not going to call in, so I'm just going to do some readings on you. That's what I'm going to do. Let's see now. I'm looking at some people here. Looking at big changes going on in... Oh, I know what it was. I'm getting off topic here. One of the things I wanted to say is if you want to do mastery and if you want to create the reality that you want, sometimes what we have to do is get in touch with the identities. I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. The identities that are under the surface. For example, if you're really afraid because, or you really feel like a failure about something, maybe you are a failure, maybe you've just lost some money or something, okay? Drop in to yourself, and let's find something we can all do today. Let's see now. Let's say, what is success, okay? And if you go inside of yourself, ask yourself, what is success? And are you a, this is the question, are you a success? Now that's interesting. Wrap yourselves in light, everybody, because I just pulled in some energy from somebody. Okay, ask yourself if you are a success. All right. And what would it look like if you were? So what kind of identity would you have if you're a success? And you know, I can see several of you people out there who are, there's a huge gap between how you perceive yourself. And what I mean is the identity that I'm seeing under your surface is more like, I would be a success if I could do thus and so, but it's a long way to that, so I'm kind of a failure. Take a look at that. And then that's huge, okay? So sometimes it's a really good idea to go in and relate to what that success would require in you. Would it be also how you look? Would it be the money you make? Would it be transcending your parents' limitations? There's a whole bunch of things here. Would it be moving beyond your external environment right now? You know, sometimes people feel like it's because of their car and their house and their income or something that they have become a failure. And the whole thing about failure is often related to identity and some reaching and striving that you're doing. Oh, goody, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted. How are you? Are you a success?
Am I a success? well, I don't know. I am somewhat. Yeah, I have made good strides.
Did you?
It seems like
you,
it's like over the years. You know, it isn't like sudden wowies. Kind of thing. So.
Did you do the exercise?
Yeah. Well, what happened is you've been going on and off, and I told the announcer. That it's been coming on and off. Mostly you're on, but then it has periods of you're not being there, you're not there, you're not coming across.
Oh, wow, I'm really glad you told me that.
Yeah, so I don't know, I don't have it turned on right now, but I told him, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll sort that out.
And it was right in the middle of the meditation, one of them.
Oh, crud.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to get crotchety about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what's your question, darling? It's good that you called in.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to take up, time, but, it didn't seem like anybody was calling, so, well, what the heck, I'll just call and say hi. And, there's always things I've been working on, manifesting a good income. I've been working on, relationship that's compatible. Those are the two things, two big things I work on. Also, I'm working on bringing in my God self more often.
Good. How's that going for you?
Regular self. I think it seems like it's just everything just kind of goes gradually, nothing's,
Well, I just want to say this about that last exercise is moving our little identities that we have with ourselves. Is really like moving little filters away from the God self.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But
well,
I
you
also
said the last exercise, that was the one you did with that lady that where she was having a negative emotions and sort of just releasing, you know, bringing that up and then releasing.
Yeah, it wasn't that one. I was thinking more of like when we were doing the success and failure one. A lot of that is the gap between what our goals are and what's really happening, and what's really happening often it has a buried identity problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not okay because of this and that, and I would be a better person if I looked good, smelled good, behaved.
Yeah,
but if you can get in touch with those, it's a really what I liked is when you said you wanted to be in touch with your God self. Sometimes just pulling these things out gives us such access to the divine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, what is? Do you want to look at something?
Yeah. Well, what? How I might be blocking that? I seem to be incredibly lucky on the small stuff. You know, little things like people just happening to be there, or you know, people that I want to talk to or connect with, or something is just right there. I'm very lucky that way. But when it comes to the big stuff, yeah, not particularly well, I'd say. So, I don't know.
How do you feel about that?
I had a dream about that one time. It's been quite a long time now, but it just sort of pointed to that characteristic, and that seems to be ongoing.
And you're feeling like you want to have a much bigger result.
Yeah, I want to be lucky. I'm lucky in the little stuff. I want to be lucky in the bigger stuff.
But it's not about luck. It's about creating it.
I know. And it's about creating. So I can create the good luck in the little stuff.
Do you know what I want to say that's kind of, it might sound irrelevant. Well, it isn't irrelevant, actually. It's like when I look at you, I go, wow, have you ever changed your brain pattern? Your brain pattern used to be much harder for you to manage.
Huh. Yeah.
And so I say to you, you know, if you're wanting to create a stronger success, you need to look at, first of all, that you created that kind of success. You really worked something through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just phenomenal stuff that happens.
What's that?
I think it is phenomenal, the stuff that happens. You know, just kind of coincidental. Quote coincidental, it's not really, but.
So if you can be in the moment, if you can be present in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's everybody do this for a moment here. Wrap yourselves in light and let's everybody go into the now moment. Yeah. And you know something? When you do that, you're much more vibrant. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
It's very funny. I was watching you, Ted, and we drop into the now and your vibrance goes way out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So I would work on that because
a lot, actually. I do this thing where I go into my feet and then feel my feet, and also maybe I get into my bones, you know, and as a grounding thing. And it works for a good half a minute.
Well, it just seems like
I zoom it off.
It seems like you're coming up the hill towards something that's going to be much more powerful than anything you've had before.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I want to say dropping into center is the route to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping into the now.
Okay. So frequently doing that, I guess, huh?
I would if I were you, because, first of all, you're really improved. Gosh, I remember years ago seeing your brain pattern was really hard to manage.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like that right now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
How's your work going?
Okay. You know, I'm getting called in every single day, and it carries me financially, and it's okay. It's not that much stress, I would say, as a regular teaching position, doing the subbing. So that's okay. I mean, you know, I hang in there. And that's where I really can get really off, you know, just happening today, where I just feel so scattered. And I, you know, I do that breathing, and, you know, I mean, I know the techniques, but boy, it doesn't seem to last very long. So I'm wondering is what you're suggesting, if I should do it with kind of depth rather than just all the time or both.
Well, you're always expecting outcome.
Really doing it, you know, I don't just, well, because I do it in the moment, I feel myself getting off in the moment, and I'll bring myself back, and I can, but then especially in the classroom, boy, I'm just, you know, pulled off, and I just get so off-center.
I know.
with those guys, and and then I can bring it back, but it doesn't last. So.
But you know what it looks like to me is that you're going to be teaching a class long term for a while.
Yeah.
And that it's easier. A, B, the thing about going back into center, yeah, it's a regular practice till eventually you just stay in it, you know? And then you're going to feel really successful. You will stay in it.
Yeah, so you're saying that the frequency of doing it is a big thing.
Yeah, it's training.
Yeah.
It's just your training.
Because the alternative to that is not to do it as much, maybe, but just when I do it, really try to do it thoroughly and for a little while.
Well, it's like this. I'm going to do it so that I will have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I'm just going to do it until I'm there trained and I'm always in it.
So you're talking about having that intention, huh?
Yeah, and the intention is to become, to be it,
yeah,
not just do it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm going to be it. Okay.
Yeah, you want to be in your, but I really feel, and predictions are meant to be played with, and you can see that if we make predictions based on your doingness, they're going to be a lot different than if we're basing them on your beingness. So predictions shouldn't really hold.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like you're going to be in a regular, full-time class of older people.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I had a possibility that came up, and then I didn't hear anything. It was working with disabled people part-time. Oh, yeah, that would work well with maybe subbing and, you know, subbing maybe part-time. And, you know, okay, there's a lot of ways to work it. And then I haven't heard back. So.
Do you like to work with disabled people?
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
for you.
I have in the past. So
you're such a good server.
Yeah, yeah. It would help my heart chakra thing, and that's what's up for men now, supposedly.
All of us, for all of us, darling.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that women are more towards their power thing, you know, and the men are more into doing the heart. But maybe not. I don't know. That's just what one person said I heard.
You know what? I think there's an emergence of the power of women spreading through the system, and yet coming from the heart is a personal thing, as some women can and some women can't.
Mm-hmm.
Women have been very hard on each other through traditionally for thousands of years, and part of that is because our safety and security relied upon the man that we could attract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So women have a long way to go coming from the heart as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not men or women. But as far as finding our personal power, you know, you guys have to find it, too. I don't think there's a separation there.
Okay, okay.
But I do think for the feminine rise of power into the systems is only practical for most of the men I know want that as well.
Yeah, sure.
Let's soften the workplace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks for your call. I love your calls.
Okay,
thanks, Ted.
Okay, thanks. I just thought, well, you know, if you want some people to call, I can always call.
Yeah, you're a good contributor. Thank you.
Oh,
and I'll, yes, take care.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie.
All right,
okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, one of the things that just came up that's interesting is the thing about women and who's coming from the heart. I think it's difficult. I say I think because maybe some of you will make me wrong. Through all my years of working as an intuitive, 25 years, I've only met a couple of people who really come from the heart without questioning, where it's been in their vibrational fields. I know some who do sometimes, and those of us who do this kind of work come from the heart in our work really easily, but it's not necessarily true all the time, being in the moment, being in the heart moment. But it's also, I'm very conscious of this, is that we women are, and I know a lot of men who would say this as well, we women are having to move through, talk about identities of being safe if we're not pretty, for example, being safe with our man, being safe in our love, being safe coming from the heart, being safe with one another. It's really been complex for women, and I believe we're moving into a time where we're learning to maybe drop our defenses and literally come from the heart with each other. It's not just that women are moving into the heart. I think we all are trying to do that. Or what did Ted say, that men are moving into the heart, women are moving into power? I think our power is going to touch the planet, because if we can come from the heart, and if we can come together, and if we can come from a place of self-empowerment instead of empowerment through attachment or empowerment through association, I think things are going to change on this planet so much. So it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen now as some of the systems, which we think of as unfair, are beginning to fold. Oof! And so much is going to go with it. So let's do another meditation. Apparently my meditation time was interrupted. Unless we have one more caller. And also I remind you that my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock is Rowena Kreider. Rowena Kreider was on a few months ago. She was on, I believe, in the June or July, beginning of July. And she's an amazing woman. She's in her mid-70s at this time. And she has learned all of her life how to drop inside and become richly authentic to really tap what she calls the love light. And she's just put out her new movie. It's a YouTube movie called My Vision of the 21st Century, and I really recommend that you watch it. It's 9 minutes long, and it's very beautiful. My Vision for the 21st Century, and she's going to be on at 5 o'clock talking about, well, she's written 12 books. She's written, she's created divination tools, cards, wonderful cards. She always uses a combination of sounds and music, color. She's absolutely amazing at finding symbols in all of life. And I believe, I'm going to ask her about this, but I believe that she works with helping people bring their own personal codes to life so that we can tap into who we really are. Who's the authentic part of our nature? What does it mean to be really yourself? She's just amazing about that. 12 books, imagine that. And this movie, My Vision for the 21st Century. Now, next week on Paradigm Shifters is going to be a hoot because we have two comedians on. The first one is Vanda Mikulowski, who's been on before, and you can look her website as, oh, I've got a caller. Hello, you're on the air. We've just got enough time for you.
Yay.
Yay.
I was glad to hear you talking about women.
Yeah, we need to grow into our love light together, don't we?
Don't we? Yeah, we need to.
Yeah, you got a question, Juniper? How are you?
I'm doing pretty darn good, thank you.
Good girl.
About one of my twinnies, one of my twins.
Okay, ask the question.
I'm just concerned about her, and I just wonder what I could do. Where do you see her at, and what I can do?
She's what's her age?
26 or so.
She's just really depressed, and she's very confused. She's been distorted by some. In her case, I would say that a lot of her reality has been pulled down by biochemistry. Does that make sense?
Yep, you've said that before. I gave her the test in Braverman.
Good.
And there were a couple questions she wouldn't even answer. They upset her so much about suicide and depression.
Oh,
so I'm really concerned. I haven't added the numbers up yet. I mean, I just did it. But I think you're right. I just wonder.
Does she get a lot of headaches?
I don't know about headaches. I know she looks and acts depressed, and she's trying so hard.
When I look at her, I say it's biochemical, it's inherited, and I would get her on some biochemical supports like 5-HTP is not going to hurt her.
Okay.
Have you got some of it? Because you can try it, and it should have an impact fairly quickly.
Okay, I do.
And the other thing is using, she can't get anything done, eh?
She's trying really hard. She's going to school and stuff.
But she's just dragging down.
Yep, and she's losing weight, and she's getting dark circles, and she looks depressed. She's not supposed to be depressed at 20-something.
Oh, I don't know. That's a pretty challenging time. Does she have a doctor? Is she on medical?
Well, they keep taking her to go get her thyroid checked and blood work.
And what happens with the thyroid?
They haven't got it done yet. They keep getting the runaround, but now they got the piece of paper. They're going to get it done.
She needs to get her thyroid done, but I'll tell you what, I'd get her on 5-HTP.
Okay.
I feel like I want to do cranial sacral with her or something of that ilk. Do you know anybody who does body
yes.
work? No?
Yes. I'm a good cranial sacral person.
Yeah, I would do that because she's on a weird cycle right now.
Yeah.
And but I think it's right to do with the brain, honey.
Okay.
And so do the test and see what happens. And L-tyrosine gets you going. Remember that?
The what?
L-tyrosine. The only thing is she's losing weight, and I'm going, ooh, I don't know if we want to make her hyper at all.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till she gets the thyroid thing done and also follow the tests for a bit.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, and put her in that tetrahedron.
I sure would, and send her love a lot. She needs to be loved. I think she feels loved at a certain level, but she just feels hopeless.
Yes, she seems, that's what it does seem like. Yeah, okay, it's more biochemical than real. I was kind of explaining that to her when we did the test together.
And remind her that the brain is a computer and it's got programs in it, you know?
Right.
So she has some real shortage of neurotransmissional duda. And you'll find it out there.
Okay, I'm going to look.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
Take care, Juniper.
Okay, blessed be.
Blessed be. Now, well, I'm going to end this show and remind you, I started saying Vanda Mikulowski, Vanda, www.vanda.us. She's pretty funny and very metaphysical as a stand-up comedian. She did a lot of training with the Rompha group, but she's now out on the circuit. And the other person is Jane Entwistle, my beloved stepdaughter, who's going to perform The Russian Nanny. And you can see that on YouTube if you look at, YouTube, angrypotato.com. YouTube, Angry Potato. You know, YouTube has got its search engine. Her name otherwise is Jane Entwistle, J-A-Y-N-E. Oh, I don't think you'll find it because I tested it. Look up YouTube and see Angry Potato, Nanny and the Angry Potato, or just the Angry Potato. She plays the Russian nanny, and she's going to take your calls the second half of Paradigm Shifters next week, and I think you're going to get a big, soft laugh out of it. So we'll talk to you at the top of the hour with Rowena Kreider. Many blessings, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I'm sorry we popped in and out, but at least we know it.